Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. Art Burns here. You are there, and I hope you're as excited as I am today because I have some great stuff to share with you. And in fact, you know, it's funny. Sometimes, you know, I always say there's great stuff to share. Sometimes I don't really believe that. Sometimes I think, I don't know, this is going to be kind of mediocre, but it never is, you know, and that's the kind of thing, right? And that's the beautiful part about the authenticity that we talk about here, you know, is that I know that, and sometimes this is hard to believe, right? But I know that if I just show up as me with all of that makes me me, if I show up as me and I extend myself out there, well then it's got to be good, right? And not because I'm so good, but just because it's true, right? Because it's authentic. And because it's authentic, there's bound to be at least some people out there who resonate with what I'm saying. You know, maybe not everybody, right? And I'm not doing like sort of, you know, demographic, analytic, you know, studies to try to figure out my message to really appeal to people. That would be inauthentic, right? So you might get more people responding, more people tuning in, more people commenting or whatever, but it's not authentic, right? And so my authenticity is what tells me that, you know, that no matter what I kind of put out here today in this podcast, it's going to be okay, right? Because it's me, right? And because you're you, the one who's listening to it. So we're just doing our thing. And so there's nothing that it needs to be other than what it is. Right? Which is just the simplicity of what life is all about. And mindfulness and meditation specifically, and mindfulness, you know, generally allows us to get in touch with this, right? Allows us to get in touch with this, you know, this understanding that comes through authenticity. And it's not something you can fake, right? It's not something you can just kind of think around and kind of come up with concepts and ideas to kind of, you know, inform you about this. The only way to understand this is through the experience of the authentic, you know, the authentic experience, right? Or the experience of authenticity, I should say. And the experience of authenticity is best reached through being present, being accepting of what you find in the present moment, being compassionate to yourself and towards the world around you, being kind and compassionate, and most of all, being curious, right? From that, those sort of attitudes and those sort of kind of, you know, postures, if you will, through those, we find our authenticity. We connect to our authenticity. And once we connect to our authenticity, now we can connect to everyone else around us. And we can't do so without that connection to ourselves. Not truly, not fully. We have connections that we believe are there, right? We have certain, you know, sort of tribal connections that we make, you know, like we're all fans of the same team, or we're all, we all wear the same, you know, hairdo, or we, you know, I remember that from years ago. One time I was at my parents' house for Christmas dinner, and, you know, one of their friends who they barely knew, and, you know, but he had his son there, and his son also had long hair. Like, I have long hair. And so my mother was like, oh, I'm going to sit you two together because you're going to get along great, right? Because you both have long hair. And what we realize is that, you know, the long hair is just an expression of our ego, right? And yeah, it happens to be the way that I want to put myself out in the world. I want to be seen as a sort of maybe a little lighthearted, a little, you know, more natural kind of person. That's how I feel. And so that's what I'm putting out into the world. I'm not creating a hairdo so that I can fit in with a certain group, right? It's not the same thing, right? So one is authenticity. The other is really egoic. And so, you know, so where's the line and all that? Well, that's a tricky question. And that, again, is something that I can't really tell you, right? I mean, of course, if we work together week after week after week, yes, I'll get to know you and your situation. I can help you to find that thing, that authenticity. I can find that connection to your authenticity with you, right? But it is inside of you. It's there already. And it's not something that you necessarily need to learn. You just need to practice to get in touch with it, And that's what I do as a coach, right? I help you to facilitate that action through the practice, right? Because it really is that simple. Like, it just requires the practice, but a lot of people have a hard time committing to that practice and to seeing the practice through week after week, day after day, moment after moment, right? And so that's where a coach comes in. They can help you to, you know, not only understand some of these things, which is important, but also to, again, to practice it till it becomes an embodied trait of yours. And that's the beautiful thing there. You know, I was actually just talking about this on my on the Learning to Surf podcast, which I do with my colleague Adam Asdell. If you haven't checked it out, I think you would really like it. You know, if you like the content here, I think you're going to like the content there. And it's a different sort of format, right? It's a conversation between me and somebody else. So you get sort of, you know, my view and somebody else's view. And so check it out. You might like it. All right. There's a little something for you. So before we get into today's topic, I want to tell you a brief story about, actually, there's going to be two little stories that I want to tell you. But first, I want to tell you about... you know, my daughter and I last night we had to run. I actually got a free plant. You know, I'm in a couple of these Facebook groups that are just about plants in the Denver area kind of thing. And from time to time, somebody will post like, "Hey, I have this plant. I don't want it anymore. I'm moving. I can't. Anybody want it?" I'm like, "I don't care where you are. I'm coming for it." Because I just love plants. So I got this beautiful baby monstera yesterday. I'm so happy about it. And so my daughter came with me to drive and pick it up. We left around like 8 o'clock at night or something like that. And so when we're driving back, you know, the little light on the dashboard of my wife's car came on saying that her tires were low. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to pull into this gas station here. I'm going to fill up the tires. Are you okay with that? I asked my daughter. She'll just sit there and listen to her radio and stuff like that. And she was like, yeah, sure, I'm fine. Now the thing I want to preface this with is that, is that my daughter, you know, we're talking about tribe, right? My daughter is 12 years old, right? She'll be 13 in a couple of months. Very tribal, right? At that age, we all are, right? Because the thing to understand about tribalism, right, in general and, you know, at large, right, is that it's about safety, right? It's about feeling safe. If I am part of a larger group, you know, even like in our primal understanding of that, right, I know that when I sleep, somebody will be there to protect me, right? Like, that's really the primal safety that we get from being part of a group, right? And so now these tribes come in so many different forms and shapes and sizes and colors and aromas and everything else, right? You know, you could have everything from the tribe of football fans, as I said before. You could have a tribe of Grateful Dead fans, deadheads, right? You could have tribes of you know, of like my daughter would be tribes of, you know, TikTok, you know, like the people that she follows on TikTok and stuff like that, right? And so particularly when we're in our adolescence, right, and our bodies are changing and we're understanding the world in much different ways, and also part of that you know, development that's happening is that our brains get a little bit ahead of themselves a little bit, right? So what happens is, you know, the emotional center of your brain is like bursting when you're 12, 13 till 18 years old or so, right? Your emotional brain is bursting with activity, but your prefrontal cortex, which modulates that activity, not quite there yet, you know? And so a lot of times you're prone to things that are going to be a little bit like, why do I get so upset about things? I don't understand it, right? That's what's happening there, right? And so, last night when I was filling up the tires of the car, you know, there, we were on like a corner, right? There was a, you know, we're on the, you know, this corner, and there's like a, you know, on the street coming like this way. So you can't see me on the podcast, but, you know, from where I was standing, I could see the intersection, right? And there was a line of cars who were waiting to get through the intersection, right? And it's one of those intersections where, you know, you have a left turn lane and has its own little green arrow that goes, right? And so I don't know exactly what happened, but I presume that what happened was that the green arrow changed so that it's green. Now all these cars can turn, right? But the car in the front of the line, for whatever reason, was not going, right? And so what I, the reason I put this together is because I heard as I was filling up the tires, you know, with the air, I heard somebody just, like, you know, there's honking your horn, right? And then there's honking your horn when you're, you know, just absolutely enraged, right? And like, you know, like this person was literally just holding down the horn for seconds, like, you know, blaring, right? And it was so loud and so, like, so much of it that I actually stopped for a second. I looked up and I said, and I think my daughter overheard me say, I think that person really wants to get through the intersection, you know, which is, of course, was true. But the point is that, okay, so then the light changed or whatever, and then finally the cars went. And I was like watching the cars go by. I could see that front car, which was pretty clearly the antagonist in this story, right? You know, the person who caused the delay, maybe not the antagonist, but the person who caused the delay, right? But then I tried to see, like, okay, who's the one honking, you know? And sure enough, right behind this car was a convertible, you know, like a sports car convertible. I think it was like a Mustang or something. And it was like, you know, pretty fancy looking and, you know, very fast and stuff like that. And I was like, I'll bet that's the guy that was honking his horn so blaringly, you know. But whatever, you know, it's all good. You know, it's over. It's nothing that bad. You know, no gunshots or anything like crazy, you know. And so we, you know, I finish filling up the tires and I get in the car and we start going. And my daughter says, you know, she says to me, she says, do you know which car it was that was honking so loudly? And I said, I think I do. I said, I think it was the convertible. Did you see the convertible go by? And she's like, I don't know if I saw a convertible. Was it a dark car? I said, yeah, it looked almost black or really dark blue. She's like, yeah, I saw that one. She's like, I kind of thought that was the car too. It seemed like that just seemed like it was, you know. And I basically didn't really say anything at that point. I was just kind of like, okay, you know, what are we going to talk about? We're just driving down the road here, you know. And then my daughter said one of the most profound things, and I'm just so proud of her, right? I'm so proud of everything. She says, well, Dad, maybe the person in the convertible, you know, maybe he just got a phone call that somebody he loves was in the hospital. And that's why he's so frantic and trying to get there. I said, wow. That's amazing that you just came up with that. You're absolutely right. That could absolutely be what happened. 100%. And then she said, or maybe he's just a selfish jerk. And I said, Lucy, that is equally as possible. And that's the point, right? And we, you know, I tried to talk for a few minutes, but then she changed the subject because, like, we're not getting into a whole mindfulness conversation here, you know. But that was the point, right, is that we never know what someone else is going through. We never know that. And you know, and it's specifically the people who seem to have that sort of ego out there, right? Like, the person driving the fancy car, the person wearing the Broncos jersey with the Broncos hat, the person, you know, wearing all tie-dye with rings and bells and feathers in their hair, you know. It's those people that seem to be expressing themselves the most that sometimes can be the ones who are having the most difficult time, who are the most afraid, feeling the most unsafe. And there's an important lesson in that, right? There's a really important lesson in that. And the lesson is really, you know, sure, there's a lesson of like, hey, you never know what somebody's going through, so you got to be nice to everyone. Yes, absolutely, 100%. That's a lesson. That's an important lesson. And I hope that you all take that lesson, right? There's another lesson of empathy, right? Of putting ourselves in the shoes of someone else and knowing that if things were exactly the same, right? And this is something else I said to my daughter last night, that if things were exactly the same, I could be that guy honking the horn like that, just praying that somebody gets out of my way so that I could rush to the side of someone I love, right? Or whatever it was, right? And so it's oftentimes, you know, that, you know, And again, that I'm sorry, the empathy is also a lesson that we're learning here, that that we can learn from this kind of concept, this beautiful wisdom of this 12-year-old girl, right? But there's also a lesson about connection, right? And there's a lesson, and we've been talking a lot about connection, so I want to kind of follow up on that a little bit, right? Because, you know, when we, you know, a lot of times when we see things like that, right, and we see like, oh, that person is doing something that I find unacceptable, right, we categorize that person right away, right? We say, okay, that person goes in this block, in this little box, right? And the people in this box are the people who I don't feel compassion towards, right? I don't like them. I don't appreciate them. They're mean. They're angry. They're, you know, not the people that I want to be around, right? And so what does that create, right? What kind of tension does that create in us once we have that person in our lives who, or not in our lives, just a person in the world who we say, no, I'm not going to offer compassion towards that person, right? What does that do to us? What it does, I'll give you a little, I'll answer that rhetorical question for you. It creates stress in us, right? It creates tension. It creates conflict, right? And most of all, though, what it does is it eliminates the ability for true connection to ourselves and true connections for the other, right? And why is this important, right? Because it really kind of automatically informs what my daughter said the other day. And this is a point I made the other day, too. Something that came up in a group of talks that I watched, and I believe this one was between Gabor Mate and Thomas Hubel. Thomas Hubel is an amazing amazing person. You definitely look him up. H-U-B-L with an umlaut over the U, if I don't know if YouTube will have that, but search him out. You'll find some great stuff. And so one of the things, I'm pretty sure it was him who said this, is that, you know, this kind of becomes a, it's like a 360 degree kind of thing, right? Because what happens is, you know, so we have this sense, like my daughter just beautifully illustrated this sense of empathic understanding that we can have for someone else's situation, right? So, you know, just even examining and just even, you know, holding open the fact that this person could be, you know, doing this, you know, performing this aggressive behavior, they could be doing it from a place of great fear and great unsafeness feeling, right? A feeling of struggle and you know, strain and pain and suffering, right? And so one of the ways in which and why this is so important here, right, is that, you know, why the ability to connect to ourselves is so important, because connecting to ourselves allows us to connect to someone else, right? And the thing that came up in this talk the other day with, and I'm pretty sure it was Thomas Hubel, it could have been, I watched so many of these talks over the weekend. There was Peter Levine, there was Stephen Porges, there was Dan Siegel and some colleagues of his, there was Thomas Hubel, maybe even a couple more. There were so many amazing talks, and I mean, I paid for it, you know, I don't know if it's worth it for you, but if you can get it still, wow. I mean, so good. If you look up Gabor Mate, the Wisdom of Trauma, and you should find a link for all this stuff. But anyway, one of the things that came up in one of these talks between Gabor Mate and I believe Thomas Hubel is that when we feel connected, right, to someone else, and this is very, very important. Now, please make sure you hear this, what I'm saying here, right? When we, and I did say this the other day, so, and it's worth repeating, right? But when we feel connection to someone, right? What does that mean, connection, right? A connection to someone really means that you live inside of me, right? Your representation, as I hold you in my consciousness, right? There's a representation of you that is inside my nervous system, my whole ability to understand, right? And so once that happens, and this is the really interesting part, right, is that once I have you in me, now there is an automatic level of care that I have for you, because you're in me and I care. I you know, my basic survival instincts, right, are enveloping you, right? Because I know that I care about me, because I'm me and I have to survive this life, right? Like, that's my whole directive, my whole biological directive is to be safe, right? And so if I feel you in me, then you become part of that thing that needs to be safe. And once that happens, then it doesn't matter what your hair looks like, or what your clothes look like, or what your job is, or what your religion is, or what your political beliefs are, or what your nationality is. None of that matters anymore. Those are that sort of cognitive tribalism, right? Which brings up, again, this is one of the things about that tribalism. Like, you know, like for me, I grew up as a New York Giants fan, right? And my grandparents were New York Giants fans, so I never had any choice, right? Like, it was not, you didn't have a choice, right? And I remember actually when I was about maybe about 8 years old or so, the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers played a couple of Super Bowls against each other. And that was a big, big deal, right? Because you liked one or the other, right? You were either the like, you know, it was almost like the Dallas Cowboys represented like the stormtroopers from Star Wars, right? Like, they were so evil, but the Pittsburgh Steelers were like the, you know, they were the underdogs, they were the scrappy guys, you know. And so if you rooted for, you know, it really determined the type of person you were to say who you voted for. But for me, like, I wasn't allowed to vote for the Dallas Cowboys because we were Giants fans, right? So no, you must root for the Pittsburgh Steelers, or else you're going to your room and you're not watching the Super Bowl with us, right? Like, that's how it was, right? It's funny that I laugh about this like as though this was all a beautiful, you know, childhood, because you know that I've been talking about all this trauma and stuff. But, you know, like any other situation, there are going to be moments of glee and joy that are encompassed in the trauma, right? So anyway, I just wanted to clear that up a little bit. But the point that I'm making is that, you know, I grew up learning that tribally, right? Like, we were New York Giants tribe, right? So we're not, so the Dallas Cowboys are in the opposite tribe. Those are the ones that want to hurt us, and those are the ones we want to hurt, right? So we can't mix with them, right? But then what happens, right? And here's where it gets really, really hard, especially for a young child to understand, right? That, okay, but my cousin's best friend, who like could be his brother, right? This guy, his name is Freddy Fiango, great guy, like amazing dude, one of the best guys in the neighborhood, right? My cousin's absolute, you know, running mate, like, you know, just running partner, just they did everything together. But Freddy was a Dallas fan. So how can I like Freddy, but also maintain my adherence to this tribe that I have? And that's the problem with tribalism, right? Because it becomes more about that sort of superficial thing than it does about what's underneath, right? And so that's really, you know, what connection is all about, right? Because when we connect, when I can connect to Freddie, it doesn't matter to me what football team or hockey team or baseball team or whatever he roots for. You know, I can separate that, and I can separate the teams that I root for. Like, I don't have to, confine myself to that little tribe. But the problem is that most of us are not connected to ourselves, right? Most of us are living a life that has been informed by childhood trauma on some level. Right. And it's definitely a varying degree. Right. Some people's trauma was much, much more difficult than other people's trauma. And that's OK. Right. That doesn't mean because your trauma is still your trauma, and it doesn't matter how it relates to another person's trauma. What it matters is how it has impacted the connection that you have to yourself. Because only when we can connect to ourselves can we really connect to others, right? And so this, again, coming back into this sort of tribalism, right? When we have this sort of cognitive tribalism, right? When we say like, okay, everyone who's a Denver Broncos fan is in my tribe. Therefore, everyone who's a Oakland Raiders fan is outside my tribe, right? Well, then what we've done is we've sacrificed so much of that true connection. And who knows who you might find who's wearing an Oakland Raiders jersey? Who knows who you might find who's exactly like you, who shares every belief, every value, every integrity that you have, but they just happen to wear this other jersey, right? And so the problem is we engage in this level of tribalism, right, where we refuse to have a connection to others, right? We block it. And so this just creates more and more of the chaos and it's chaos and rigidity in the mind. Thank you to Dr. Dan Siegel in a course I'm taking. But anyway, that's for a different story. But it creates the static. It creates the confusion. It creates the stress. And that ultimately is taking us away from our sense of well-being. And in that confusion, right, because remember, the tribalism is all about feeling safe, right? That's why we engage in tribalism. That's the only reason we have ever engaged in tribalism, because it makes us feel safe. And it's a human biological directive to feel safe. There's nothing more important to us ever in our entire lives. There's nothing more important than the feeling of safety, right? And so, of course, there's like, what does it mean to be safe? And that's a different, now I'm going to make a note in my little black book about that. We'll do another because I have some great thoughts about that. But anyway, what happens is when we realize that, okay, this person who's in my tribe of Denver Broncos fans, but I found out that he just, you know, he just hurt somebody, right? Or you know, drinks and drives, or you know, smokes crack in the parking lot, whatever it is, right? Maybe something that very strongly conflicts with my own beliefs. Well, now not only do I not feel safe anymore, but the actual facade of all that safety just came crumbling down like a tower of Jenga blocks, and now I might even have some kind of psychotic break from something like that, right? This could be another, or this could trigger an old trauma or become a new trauma. And so when we practice meditation and we practice mindfulness, right, what we're doing is we're getting in touch with our authenticity. We're getting beneath those layers of blue jerseys and orange jerseys and long hair and short hair and sneakers and sandals and all that stuff. We're getting beneath all that. We're getting into the core, the truth of our authenticity. And I would love to help you get in touch with your authenticity. And I can't even describe to you it's indescribable joy that I feel when I feel my authenticity. And I want you to feel that too. And in that place, you too, like my beautiful sweet daughter did last night, you too will automatically break through the bonds of the automatic thoughts that we have, right? Guy honking a horn, wearing with a fancy convertible car is this kind of person, right? That's how we operate. We figure, we put that person into a box, right? He's that guy, right? But this person is that guy, right? The person who didn't see the phone, the light change, was he on his phone? So he's that guy, right? He goes in this box, right? And when we put each of these people in these different boxes, well, then we've already defined them. And now we don't see what they might be going through. We don't allow ourselves to connect in that caring and loving way because they're in this box and my love doesn't go there. And so the authenticity is not just like a woo-woo kind of concept. It actually allows us to feel instinctively, intuitively. That's what it is. It's the intuition that my daughter came up with last night to say, but maybe, Dad, maybe he's having a hard time. Maybe he's in trouble. Maybe he's in pain. Or maybe he's just a selfish jerk, right? But, literally her words. But so brilliant. You know, I felt like the student, right? And that's another beautiful thing is that, you know, as a parent, I've learned more from my children, or at least as much from my children as I've ever taught them, you know? And again, that can only happen from that place of authenticity, right? Again, there's another example, right? There's so many of these little traps we can fall into, right? Because when we have young kids, we put them into a box, right? These are kids that I have to teach. I don't learn from them. I teach is one-way thing, right? But when I've connected to myself and I can really connect to this person that's inside this little body, well, now all of those stereotypes and categorizations and all of that stuff just fades away. And now we're left with authentically two human beings who are going to relate to each other, who are going to learn from each other, who's going to nourish each other, who's going to keep each other safe. Because of the natural caring and the natural connection that we have with them. Not something just because it's my job to keep you safe, right? Of course, with kids, that's what happens. But it goes beyond that once we tap into that authenticity. All right, folks. So if you're interested in talking more about this or interested in checking out some coaching around this, there's a coaching session that you already own, okay? It is literally your possession. All you got to do is claim it. Okay, it's like a big box of appointments. All you got to do is reach your hand in, grab one, and take it with you. Okay, and you can do that virtually by clicking the link in the description. Okay, it says calendly.com/artburnscoaching. I think it says that's the one. Click that, go through the prompts. It's super easy, and you, my friend, will have your own coaching session, and this coach will be so excited for it and cannot wait to meet with you and help you to understand some of this. And then more importantly than understanding it, help you to do some practices that will enable you to come to these realizations, to get into that connection. All right, folks, I've talked a long time today. I wish you well. I'll be back again tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye-bye.